Our gospel writer has one purpose that's twofold. One purpose that's twofold. And he tells us in John 20, verse 31, he says, "These are written so that you might continue or come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have eternal life by the power of his name." Because it's John's desire to help whoever reads his words to come to faith in Jesus and to grow in faith. One purpose, twofold. We come to faith in Jesus by a choice, by a response, and we grow in Jesus by a choice, by a response. Nobody makes us do it. Your kids might be here today because they were made to be here. And by the way, it's one of the best decisions that you make. But you're here today because you had a choice to make, to figure out if you want to be in this place where you might come to know Jesus and to grow in that faith. And we really hope that that happens. So we have been journeying with John. It's been several weeks, and we're all the way up to chapter 3. And today we're going to look at verses 16 through the end of chapter 3. And contained in these verses is a text that has been referred to as everybody's text. It's a text that has been referred to as the gospel in miniature. John 3:16, most of us know it. You've heard it somewhere. You've seen it. You've been to a football game. You've seen the sign. You might not even know what it meant. But contained in John 16 through 36 are passages that talk about choice. See, here's how good our God is. He presents the good news to us. Our gospel writers, Paul's letters, all the writers of the Old Testament, they lay out for us who God is. But nowhere are we made to believe. We have a choice to make. And in these verses, 16 through 36, I labeled this kind of a study in contrasts, but I kind of want to reframe that a little bit. What these verses are really all about is a study in choice. Because one of the things that we've seen about John so far, and we're going to continue to see this, is that one of the literary techniques that John uses is he looks at opposites, good, bad, light, dark, heaven, hell. He looks at these opposites. And he uses that as a major literary technique to help us engage with his text, to help us to discover what he's writing about. And I propose that he does that so intentional that what he does is he says, okay, I'm giving you the choice, and I'm going to make it as black and white as I can for you. Choose good, choose bad. Choose well, choose not so well. Choose life, choose death. And in these verses, we see at least five different choices that our gospel writer presents us with. Five different choices that as we read this text, you and I have a choice to make. Have you figured out the word for the day? It is choice. We all have a choice to make. And in this text, he's really going to present a choice packaged in five different presentations for us of choices that we have to make, every single one of us. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of break this down section by section. If you have your bulletin inside, there are some notes where you might want to fill in some blanks and follow along. Use that as a resource for you to maybe reflect on a little bit more after you leave today. I also want to let you know that in the lobby on the information table, there's a notebook, the little three-ring binder that you can just take one of those if you want. And every week, and you can put your bulletin notes in there. And that might be a great place for you to have as just kind of this continual kind of place, source to go back to. To kind of be in God's word a little bit more. Because again, you have a choice to make. We not only come to faith in Jesus, but we grow in faith. Because when we stop growing, we die. Physically and spiritually. We die. And so we have this continual choice that we have to make. Paul is going to talk about it in his letters using words like perseverance or running the race, that we got to stay at it, that we got to stay engaged, that we got to keep in this process, in this journey. And so this morning, you have a choice to make. You have five, actually, and we're going to kind of look at those in depth. So the first one in the study of contrast or the study in choices is it's a choice between being saved or being condemned. Strong words, but that's what it is. Between being saved and being condemned, being made right with God, being forgiven of our sin, we sing about that all the time, being justified just as if we've never sinned, we talked about that last week. We have a choice between being made right with God, being saved, last week I talked about how we find it, or being condemned. And what I want you to notice from the text, one of the things I want you to notice, is the choice is ours. One of the core essential doctrines of our faith is that God doesn't send people to hell. We go there by our own volition. We go there by our own choice, whether we choose life or we choose death. So let's look at the first few verses, John 3. We're going to look at 16 through 20 and see what our gospel writer records of Jesus. And he begins this way. And again, so many of us know this one by heart that it probably is so familiar that we might not even engage with it sometimes. But hear these words, see these words, engage with these words. Let them soak into your soul. He writes, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." So what's our human condition? Our human condition, we refer to as an original sin, is that we are all sinful. Every single one of us falls short of God's glorious standard. And apart from a relationship with Christ, we're dead. We're condemned. We don't have eternal life. But God, in his amazing grace, we're going to sing about that at the end of our time this morning, in his infinite love, in his amazing possibilities, he makes a way for us to be made right, to be saved. And it's through his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus. That Jesus, but there's no sweeter name, that Jesus whose name we should be awestruck at hearing. And notice what it says in here. It says, "For this is how God loved the world." That's everybody. And we've talked about that many times in this series. Is that the gospel's for anyone and everyone. There's no one who God says, I don't really want you. But it's an invitation to everyone and anyone. This is how much God has loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Who took the initiative? God did. What did he give? His best. His one and only Son. That's how much he loves us. Now, if you have kids, or if you ever had kids, or there's somebody who's really important to you that's got kids, kind of that picture of how much God loves the world that he wanted to reconcile the entire world. So he gives us his Son to die and to be raised again so that we might live forever. And so it says that he offers this to anyone and everyone. He says, "There's no judgments against anyone who believes in him." That's amazing. There's no judgment. But if you don't believe him, the contrary is the opposite's there. If you don't believe in him, there is judgment. He says, "But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God." But the good news of the gospel, Paul reiterates it in Romans 8:1. He says, "There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." There's no condemnation. There is no hell. There is no eternal separation. There's only life. There's no condemnation for those who believe, who belong to Jesus. So we have a choice to make, belong and believe in Jesus or not. We get to make that choice. Nobody will ever make that choice for you. Just because you grew up in the church, just because you come to church every week, you might be in a Bible study, you might be in a prayer group, you might do all those things. But if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, then you don't really believe yet. And you have that choice to make. Believe in Jesus and be saved, be made right with God, or don't believe, don't be made right, and be separated from God forever. What's God's desire? That all would come to faith, that all would believe in Jesus, that no one would be exempt. So we have a choice to make. You and I have a choice to make. Are we going to believe in Jesus or not? If we believe in Jesus, we're saved, we're made right. If we don't believe in Jesus, our trajectory is condemnation. Now here's some really good news. If you're not dead, God's not done. And so he's going to continually, relentlessly pursue you. Again, one of the core essential doctrines of our faith is that we have a God who takes the initiative, who goes before us, who continually is seeking to draw us to him and say, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Believe. He presents this to us. And so as long as we're alive, as long as we're not dead, he's not done. But when we die, we're going to one of two places, and the choice is ours. That we can be made, we can be saved and be made right with God, or we can be condemned. We can also choose, number two, to live in the light or to live in the dark. We can live in the light or we can live in the dark. We see this in John 21. I got my numbers all wrong, so we'll just read it. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. We get to choose whether or not we position ourselves in the light of Christ or in the darkness of sin. And it really is that simple. We choose whether or not we are going to position ourselves in a proximity of light, Jesus, or we choose to position ourselves in the proximity of darkness, of evil, of the self, basically. And what did the text say that we really like doing? Over here? Not so much. We kind of really like being over here. It's one of the problems with sin. Maybe it looks good in the short term. Almost everything looks good in the short term, but it's the long term. Doesn't look so good. Because we have the opportunity to live in the light, position ourselves so that our relationships, so our networks, all those things, position ourselves in the light so that we might be in this relationship with Jesus. Or we can come over here and we can position ourselves in the dark and be like, I'm going to hide. No one's going to see me. I can do what I want. Do you know where dark? Do you know where evil festers the most? In the dark. It's one of the problems with things like the internet or social networking. In and of themselves, they're benign, but they tend to lead us to places of darkness. They really can. And we have to choose what we're going to do. Somebody asked me this morning, she said, I saw that you put on Facebook that you're like going off the grid for a while. Like, yeah. I said, because I'm seeing a lot of stuff on Facebook that's just not good for me. And I know what some of these things does to me. That I can either position myself to be in this place of experiencing the goodness of the things of God, or I can come over here and begin to position myself so that I really begin looking at the things of the world. So we got to make that choice. Or do we want to live in the light or we want to live in the darkness? And sometimes we don't move to the light because we're afraid. It means that we might have to leave a relationship. It might mean that we have to stop doing something that we really kind of like doing. It means that we might have to reorganize our life. We might have to go somewhere else. We might have to stop doing something that we really kind of like to position ourselves over here. And so we might be a little bit afraid. But God's word says in 1 John 4:18, again, John, our writer, says, perfect love expels all fear. That when we position ourselves in the light, the fear that we have goes away. It expels it. It's gone. And the more we position ourselves in the light, the less fear that we have and the less that that darkness is attractive to us. But again, who gets to choose that? We do. Do we want to position ourselves in some place that is dark, that might be drawing us away from the light of Christ, that might be drawing us away from the community of Christ, it might be drawing us away from the places where we experience the new life, the new birth, the things that we talked about over the last few weeks? Or do we just say, no, I'm gonna invest myself over here, I'm gonna move over here in the light so I can position myself best to grow in Christ, to make a decision for Christ, and to grow in Christ. So we have to make a choice between being saved and being condemned, or being in the light or being in the dark. We have another choice to make. We see this in the next few verses. We have a choice to let God increase so that we might decrease. A choice that we make, he must increase or we must decrease. Let's read how that unpacks itself. Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Aenon near Salem because there was plenty of water there, and people kept coming to him for baptism. This was before John was thrown into prison. Little preview of what happens to John the Baptist a little bit later. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man we met on the other side of the river, that'd be Jesus, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing. Notice the default jealousy position that so easy rears its ugly head. And everybody is going to him instead of to us. John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only the one here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the best man is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. Here's the choice. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. That is absolutely at odds with all the messages that we get in our world. What does our world say? Baby, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Find the thing within you. You deserve it. It's all about you, baby. Come on, just go and let's achieve what you dream you can achieve. And we hear these motivational things, right? We've all heard those things. Those are about increasing us. The paradox of our relationship with Christ is that the more he increases, the more we decrease, the greater the relationship that we have. So we have to say, we have to choose, he must become greater and I must become lesser. Okay, how does that play itself out? It means that we prioritize Christ in our lives. It means we prioritize being in those places where our relationship with God continues to grow. We choose worship. We choose service. We choose giving. We choose all these things that are going to help us grow in that relationship with Christ so that he becomes and takes a more prominent role in our life. We choose the things that are most important to us, right? And the more we prioritize Christ, the more he becomes more in our lives, and the less of us, less of the self, the greater he is in our life, and the more we begin to experience the abundant life that John's going to tell us in chapter 10 that are available to us. That's tough for us, isn't it? To say, he must become greater and I must become less. When his disciples were asking him how they should pray, they came to Jesus and, Jesus, how should we be praying? And one of the things that Jesus says in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, some traditions say this every week. We kind of go through seasons where we'll say it and kind of deal. But one of the things that Jesus says in this prayer that we're supposed to be praying is, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done, God, in this world, not mine. May your kingdom come, not mine. But see, here's part of the problem. We like our thrones. We like the world to revolve around us, don't we? Really? Again, I have lots of like kids metaphors because my kids are in that season right now. And I'm not sure like at what age it happens. Maybe in utero, but it's, I want what I want when I want it. Anybody else got that going on in their house right now? Maybe even with your spouse, you know, like, I want what I'm just kidding. I don't, because I have the perfect spouse. I really do. I so married up. God is so good. But really, don't we? It's like, I want what I want when I want it. What's the problem? There are three I's in there and no Jesus. And we want our kingdoms to revolve around us. But God says, no, it's not the way to experience abundant, eternal, everlasting, new life. And so we gotta continually choose, because our default is not going to be he must become greater and I must become less. That's not our default. John the Baptist is the precursor to Jesus. He has come out of the wilderness baptizing people for the repentance of their sin. And he's got some followers. They were disciples. Rabbis had followers. Rabbis were teachers. They had followers. And so his disciples are with him, and John is baptizing people, and Jesus is baptizing people, and John's disciples come along and say, John, I mean, I hear him whining, I really do, John, he's baptizing more people than we are. And the George Modern paraphrase to this text is, awesome. That's what he's supposed to do. I do my job, he does his job. I just set the stage. And he takes glory and honor in that. Because for John the Baptist, it was more about Jesus and less about him, more and more and more. And so the choice that you and I have to make, are we gonna seek that his kingdom come or our kingdom? Are we gonna choose him or are we gonna choose us? Are we gonna choose what we want or are we gonna choose what God wants? These choices, each one of these choices will be choices that will move us either closer in our relationship with Christ or they will push us away. Because our choices have consequences, right? We talk about that, right? Not just for us, for our kids, for our choices have consequences. And so John's presenting this like, you have a choice to make. He must become greater and you must become less. Do you want to do that? Choice number four that we see in this text. We can choose wisdom from above or wisdom from below. Wisdom from above is from God. Wisdom from below is from us, from the world. In other words, it's who you're going to listen to. You listen to what God says, or you're going to listen to what the world says. And they are at odds. All we got to do is look at the cultural wars that we're seeing. All we got to do is look at some of the social things that are affecting our world today. And they are at odds. What God says and what the world says are diametrically opposed. And the problem is what the world is saying is gaining momentum. And it's beginning to influence the church. Well, here's the problem. The church is supposed to influence the world, not the other way around. And that comes from who do we listen to? Who do we listen to? Let's look and see what it says here in 31 through 35. It says, he has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard and how few believe what he tells them. Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hand. Again, the choice that we have to make, who are we going to listen to? I'd maybe even reframe that to say, what's the authority that we're going to listen to? Because we all surrender to an authority. Kids, they're supposed to surrender to our authority, right? We surrender to the authority of our employers. We surrender to the authority of our teachers, professors, instructors. As Christians, we surrender to the authority of our God. And our God has chosen to reveal himself through his word. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. This is how you live. This is how you don't live. This leads to life. This leads to death. This is good things. This is bad things. Who are you going to listen to? Discerning the correct voice to listen to can be hard, can't it? Our daughter has a little friend in school, and I want to put this really nicely. She exaggerates. In Texas, we call that a big, bold-faced lie. She exaggerates stuff. And our daughter comes home, and she says, well, you know, she said, oh, and I'm like, dear God, help me on this. And we're trying to help our daughter hear that not everything she listens to is true. The world doesn't tell us the truth, right? What does the world say? Baby, if it feels good, do it. There's a lot of things that feel good that are not good for us. Fatty food, right? It's like, yummy, right? Jenny and I were watching a couple years ago. We were watching, we love to watch Shark Tank. Anybody else like love that show? Don't you wish that you had some like business that you could take on Shark Tank? It's a cool show. You really should watch it. But there was an entrepreneur that came on the show, and they were actually from Louisville. I was so excited. It's Tom and Chi. And it's their business model is they make two things: tomato soup and cheese sandwiches. That's all they make. But you can get a cheese sandwich with like everything on it. Or you can get like all these different kinds of tomato soups. Oh my, I mean, it's good food. Do you know what their signature grilled cheese is? On a glazed donut. Oh, serious. You think that sounds bad? We had one. They brought us the dessert grilled cheese that was like a glazed donut, cheese, strawberries, chocolate, peppermint. Was there anything else on that? I mean, it was like, we first looked at it and go, oh, seriously? Take a couple bites, like, oh, wow. Can we have more? Isn't that what the world says? Like, baby, it's good. Okay, if I had too many of those, what would I look like? Not the spelt, cut guy that I am now, right? How dare you laugh at me? But see, we got to figure out who we're listening to. Now, hear me carefully. Peer pressure isn't just for kids. It's for us too. Who do we listen to? Wisdom from below or wisdom from God? We got to make that choice all the time. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. We are in Lent. We are preparing ourselves to celebrate the greatest event that changed the face of the planet, the trajectory of everyone. That is foolish to the world that doesn't know Jesus, but for us who know Jesus, if there was no cross, we would be headed for destruction. That's foolish. The world says, don't listen to that. But we know better because we know the rest of the story. So choice we got to make. We got to choose who and what we listen to, from above or from below. So let's just review those real quick, because this is going to ramp up, because this last one's like really, really important. Not that these aren't, but this last one's really important. So in the study of contrasts or choices, the first, we choose between being saved or being condemned. Number two, living in the light or living in the dark. Number three, he must increase, I must decrease. Number four, wisdom from above or wisdom from below. And here's how it all comes down to this last one. That get this one. You and I choose between life or death. We choose between life or death. And John's going to tell us exactly what that looks like. In John 3:36, the last verse of chapter 3, he says, "And anyone who believes in God's Son has entered life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment." We have to choose. It is our choice. God will never force himself on us. We have a choice to make. We choose life or we choose death. We don't really get to ride the fence. Anything that's not choosing life is choosing death. It's just that simple. When they were getting ready to enter into the promised land, you know, Moses was leading this ragtag group of Israelites on a journey that should have taken no more than 2 weeks for 40 years, because they had a lot to learn about what it meant to obey God and to place themselves under his authority. And he's getting ready to hand the mantle off to his successor. And God inspires Moses with these words to the people as they begin to enter into the promised land, as they prepare themselves to enter into this promised land, this place that is described as flowing with milk and honey, this place that is like so good, a metaphor for heaven, promised land. He says to the people, "Now listen. Today, I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster." Some other things in there would encourage you to go look it up. "Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice." Why don't you circle that word in your bulletin notes if you have those out there? "You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him." Then underline this one. This is the key to your life. It's the key to your life. Your choice. God has offered us the promised land, the eternal promised land that we get to experience in part today and in fullness when we step out of this existence and step into the next. We get that by our choice. He did it. He died on the cross so that we could get it. It's offered to us. The invitation is extended to us. So we have a choice to make. Every single one of us in here and across the face of the planet who was, who is, or ever will be, the choice between life and death is ours, because God has already said that he has sent his Son so that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Does it get any simpler than that? Does it get any better than that? So we have a choice to make. I heard this saying this last week, and it has just like rattled my head, and I cannot get away from it. And this is how good our God is, that he makes space for grace. He makes space for grace, because we come to faith by grace, through faith in Christ for what he has done. Scripture tells us if we believe in our hearts, if we confess with our mouths, we're saved. We're made right with God. We're justified, just as if we've never sinned. We get to make, people, we get to make that choice. No matter who we are, young, old, we get to make that choice. And that is an amazing choice that we get to make. And he tells us that there's no condemnation when you choose right. The condemnation is when you've already chosen wrong. There's no condemnation when you choose right. So here's the question. What do you choose? Moses said, choose this day. And I say to you, the choice is yours. Choose this day because, as James tells us in his letter, we have no idea what tomorrow holds. And so for any of us that are banking on it, saying, well, you guys know my metaphor, right? Darkness over here. I kind of like hanging out over here. I want to hang out over here for a little bit while longer. Okay, if you want to play the odds, you know, like the lottery says, somebody's got to win, it might be you. Really? Okay, that was a little political statement, sorry. Give your money here before you give it to the lottery because you're not going to win. Another political statement. So what are you going to choose? You have a choice to make. And it's that simple. And we think it's hard. It's that simple. Anyone who believes, anyone has life. Let's pray together.